This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
WEEI Afternoons here at Fenway Park, our Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios, reacting to the Major League Baseball trade deadline that wasn't overly fruitful for the Red Sox. We are also awaiting, and we have confirmation, our buddy Will Fleming will join us in studio sometime this hour to give us his thoughts, emotional thoughts, on what did and didn't happen yesterday. It's 5 o'clock. You're getting ready to head home for a beautiful night leading into the weekend. That means it's time for The Drive here on WEEI Afternoons.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep.
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
I think it might be important here to sort of reset what actually happened yesterday with the Red Sox. We've been complaining what they didn't do, what they didn't get, how they didn't make the team better, even if Alex Cora thinks they are better. So, Dan Ball,
yeah,
remind me. They acquired two pitchers, a starter and a reliever.
Who are they?
What are they? What do they bring to the table?
So, left-handed reliever Steven Matz, they got him on Wednesday from St. Louis in exchange for corner infield prospect Blaze Jordan. Blaze is hitting .289 over 177 plate appearances with Worcester. He got called up. It was going decently well, predominantly playing at third base, but also a bit of time at first base. So, I guess he wasn't viewed as the Tristan Casas replacement by the franchise, but he was Rule 5 draft eligible, so they did that last year with Nick York and getting Quinn Priester, who was a player I wish the Red Sox had. Meanwhile, for Steven Matz, he is in his fourth and final year of a contract he signed with St. Louis. He's 34 years old, 32 games, 2 starts, 3.44 ERA, 5-2 record. It's the lowest ERA that he's had in a season since he pitched 6 games in 2015 with the Mets. So, decent season. He's become essentially just a 1-2 inning left-handed reliever. Doesn't walk a lot of guys, keeps the ball on the ground. So, he replaces Brendan Bernardino on the roster.
Low leverage middle reliever. I've heard some people speculate that in a bind, could you stretch him out? He's had some appearances that were like 40 pitches.
Yeah. Used to be a starter with the Mets.
Yeah. Yep. So he was
part of
that
famous group. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So that is one.
Okay. And then, I'm excited.
Yesterday, we thought it was Joe Ryan. Instead, it was the next best thing, which is Dustin May. This year, 27 years old, 6-7 record, 4.85 ERA in 19 games, 18 starts. The concerning thing is over the 3 years, 2021 through 2023, he only threw in 20 games combined. He's had a lot of injury issues. He had Tommy John surgery, then had a Tommy John correction. He had an esophageal surgery. So, he's never really put all the pieces together. He was acquired for two players, including James Tibbs, who was the outfielder that was acquired as part of the Rafael Devers trade. And he was hitting with Portland in 30 games, .207. One other minor league outfielder goes out the door for him.
Okay, so those are the players that were acquired yesterday and a little bit earlier by Craig Breslow.
Yep.
This is how fans responded to Craig Breslow this morning when he was on the phone with the Greg Hill Show on a roadshow.
Maybe a little bit unfortunate timing this morning because we are with an unruly crowd of Red Sox fans here. Let me introduce you to them. Guys, Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. Hi. Good morning. Good morning, Craig. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
So will this be the end of roadshow phone-ins from the Red Sox?
Because
remember?
Basically, the Hillman basically said, I want you guys to be unruly when Breslow comes on.
They booed naturally, and then he set him up for an even louder, better boo the second time.
This is an unruly crowd here.
Yep.
So be unruly. Hey, welcome in, Craig Breslow.
I wonder if there'll be some changes off this, Fitzy, because a few years ago when they had the, whatever they called the winter
weekend.
Winter weekend.
Yeah,
out in Springfield at the MGM.
Yep. They booed there, and they decided, you know what? We're not going to do that event anymore. So I wonder if
Hello,
this will
fans,
have ramifications.
How are you?
Well, Breslow was not there in person.
Yeah, no, I'm guessing he won't call any road shows anymore.
Maybe.
Any place where there's an opportunity for the live studio audience to boo and let them know how they feel, I'm guessing that could be altered. You know, whether it's fair or not fair, it is what it is. When you build up expectations, and Craig Breslow, you were part of that.
Yeah.
You helped build the expectations with what you said at other appearances on the Greg Hill Show and on Nesson. And then when you bring them guys that you don't even call, he in his Zoom last night with the media, said they tried to bring in real impact players.
Yeah.
Therefore insinuating the guys you did bring in are not real impact
players. I thought
the players.
Same thing right when he said it. Man, did you those poor pitchers that you just got, they can't be happy hearing that.
Ted, if I said to you, Ted, we want you to be our linebacker because we couldn't get any real linebackers.
It wouldn't make me feel good.
Yeah, you shouldn't feel good.
We'll just convert this special teams guy. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
And as you're adding these guys that aren't real impact guys around you, the Yankees, you know, they made nine trades going into the deadline. They added three or four different bullpen arms. They fixed their third base problem. The Mariners, they now have one of the best top sixes in their lineup in baseball with the two guys they added. The Guardians were made. The Royals kept Seth Lugo, added a couple outfielders. Even the Rays added your boy Griffin Jacks, Andy. So it's not like you added a few fringe pieces and so did everybody else. Everybody kind of blitzed the competition, and you added from you got a player from a team that's trying to win a championship.
Yeah.
The Dodgers decided, and Steve Buckley said this, and I loved it last night. The Dodgers are trying to win. They deemed that Dustin May isn't worthy of trying to compete for a championship, and that's the guy that you added at the deadline.
Both teams acknowledged yesterday that Dustin May is not a real impact player. The Dodgers, by getting rid of him pursue a title, and the Red Sox verbally, while acquiring him. I also want to add in, Joe Ryan was the dream. Joe Ryan was also the mirage on the horizon at about 550 last night, thanks to some terrible reporting by Yahoo and Fox. But also, Joe Ryan, you know what he's probably doing today? I bet you he's shaking hands and introducing himself because they traded nine players off their 26-man roster. So Joe Ryan,
the Twins,
he has to learn a third of a new team. So don't tell me you couldn't have lured Joe Ryan away. Is Joe Ryan the only guy they were going to keep on their roster? And Dan Ball, he's confirming. I just saw him get his fingers out. It's nine players, right?
It is eight players.
Oh.
So the Minnesota Twins put out one graphic. Congratulations to Travis Adams, Ryan Fitzgerald, Edouard Julian, Austin Martin, Pearson Ohl, Alan Roden, Erasmo Ramirez, and Jose Urania for being called up from AAA St. Paul to the Minnesota Twins today. My God. Poor Joe Ryan, poor Christian Vasquez.
You guys think that, I mean, there's something that smells here. There's a story that we don't know yet that I feel like there's way too much institutional confidence of
arrogance
that something was going to be done.
Yeah.
There's people that closely follow the team that were pretty much guaranteeing something was going to happen big, buckle up. And you just wonder, you kind of hear the tone of Craig Breslow last night after it went down. Like disappointed, maybe embarrassed. Maybe they thought they had a better handle on the situation when they really didn't. I feel like that's kind of what went on last night.
I feel like your guy, and I'm not quoting Parcells. I mean, Belichick, because I'm quoting Parcells here. I think Craig Breslow doesn't know what he doesn't know yet about the trade deadline, being a GM, working deals. That report from Bob Nightingale that he's tough to deal with. I think he may have known. Like, there's guys that are good at it. Right? ABC, always be closing. They know the formula. They know the map. They know probably the ups and downs. You and I probably get suckered by it. We probably go to a car dealership and we probably get worked like we don't even know we're getting worked, right? Because that guy's been doing it for 35 years for Herb Chambers or Ernie Bach or one of these guys. Craig Breslow's new to this job and people are saying, he doesn't really know what he's doing over there. He's tough to work with. My guess is they thought they were well on their way to doing something. Otherwise, I don't think they would have put
out people. They let people know.
Or they were just trying to spin some PR and good. I don't even know why, because if people hate that, right? Isn't that one of those rules? You don't overpromise and underdeliver. You do it the opposite way. You underpromise and overdeliver. That's not what they did. They overpromised and didn't really deliver anything. But that brings us to our Alex Cora audio. He met with the media here at Fenway Park. And as you might expect, he put a pretty positive spin and a smiling face on the trade deadline. and he sounds like he likes his baseball team?
I think we got better, and I think the team is a lot different than the last three. We're more complete. We pitch better. Our bullpen is in a great place, so I'm very happy where we're at.
Do you believe him?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Not really. Go ahead.
Nope.
Pitsy, go ahead.
I don't believe him at all. This is Alex Cora just having to do the PR and maintain. He is in charge. If you know the ship is going down, or you know the ship is taking on water, or you know the ship is in trouble, isn't it your job to try to maintain confidence of the crew, the passengers, and everybody on board that you can say you can get to shore, that you'll be able to have a successful voyage, the plane will land? That's exactly what Alex Cora is doing here. So if anyone says, like, I don't like what he's doing his job. That's exactly what he's doing. He's doing his job.
He is, Fitzy, and I think where you will notice his true feelings is if there's a crack, four-game losing streak. Things start to, you know, fall apart.
Yep.
And the players, all of a sudden, just like what Lou Maloney said last night to us, he basically said the first sign of distress or trouble for this team, they will blame it on the fact that the Red Sox didn't do more at the trade deadline. The players will. And that the manager will kind of fall into that line of thinking as well, the first hint of problems post-trade deadline.
Along those lines, an interesting name we haven't brought up, I don't believe, at all today, and it's an interesting night for him because he's playing for the Red Sox after a disappointing trade deadline against his former team that was active, that maybe could have more aspirations moving forward, the Houston Astros. That's your boy, St. Bregman. Isn't he going to play a key role in that clubhouse? Everybody tells me he's the leader of that clubhouse now, right? He's established. He's healthy. He's played well. It's been three quarters of a season. How does Alex Bregman, what can he do to prevent the August collapses?
What else do you want him to do besides hit home runs, besides hit the ball out of the ballpark, besides do scouting reports for every player?
See that water? I need wine, Alex.
Basically, he walks on water. I mean, Fitzy, it's like, you know, he's coming at me like, I mean, can he do more than he's doing? I don't know what else he can do. I mean, but
his mindset, though, Ted, could be, you think his mindset could be, holy blank, I have never missed the playoffs. And I thought that they brought me in, they brought in Crochet, they brought in Chapman, and I thought they were going to make similar moves at the midseason mark so we could absolutely push forward and validate all this money they spent on me.
I don't think he's going to be openly define or just show his displeasure, if that's the case, because he's wanting to maybe get a new contract. So I hear what you're saying. He might be thinking but he's going to act as if he's going to be the company man. He's going to say all the right things.
I had forgotten about that. He did talk about, I think it's since ninth grade, he's gone to the postseason every single year of his baseball career. And that streak right now, he's still in the postseason path right now here in New England, but that streak is in jeopardy. So other guys are either so young they've never been there, like Raffaello, we mentioned him. He's talking about wanting to play in the postseason at Fenway Park. There, Anthony, they'll have their chances, whatever. Or guys that have been there and they know that they've missed the last few years. They've been a last place team. I just think it'll be interesting to see how Bregman handles his role as the leader with a young team, helping his boy Cora. That's the other thing. The manager is his guy. The manager might be the reason hell that he's even here. So they need to be on a unified front, I guess, in that clubhouse with how we're going to deal with this, right?
I was covering that team in 2017 when they won the whole thing, and they at the first trade deadline. Remember, the first trade deadline came at the end of June, and then they had another trade deadline.
The waiver, whatever it was called,
and they didn't do anything at the first trade deadline, and it was everybody was ticked off, and then that second one. Verlander came open, and they brought Verlander in, and all of a sudden they go win the whole thing. So,
unfortunately, that second one no longer exists, so we can no longer hope that they might have ace up their sleeve.
There's a player though that we're making this all about Joe Ryan, but if the Red Sox brought even in, like we discussed yesterday, and we heard potentially was going to be available to them, somebody like Merrill Kelly, who the Rangers supposedly outmaneuvered and snuck past the Red Sox on and got yesterday to pair up with Eovaldi. They could end up pushing past the Red Sox as well. So the Rangers give up their 5th-ranked, 9th-ranked, and 13th-ranked prospects to get a rental of Merrill Kelly, who I'm sure they'll, if he pitches well, they'll hope to sign on for next year and beyond. Does that seem like too much of an overpay for 2 months of a high-level, 30-something-year-old right-handed starter to try to make a playoff push?
No, because basically the Red Sox gave up similar prospects in their deals. That was one of the things we didn't really touch on, is a lot of the quantifiers of trades say the Red Sox got fleeced in these two trades combined. If you
look, awesome.
One of the websites puts numerical dollar values on the prospects. I know Dan Ball will furiously look to have that ready. But either way, no matter how you look at it, prospect rankings or dollar value on prospects, these were bad trades for the Boston Red Sox.
So it's baseball trade values is what you're
creative name.
Yes. The Steven Matz deal, without getting too much into it, was ranked as a minor overpay by the Red Sox. This Blaze Jordan one for one. So the numerical value put on Dustin May, $2.3 million compared to James Tibbs and Zach Erhard. The deal was rejected by the model as an overpay by Boston. Oh. So numerically speaking, it was said that the guys were given up for a rental of a guy with nearly a 5 ERA, for some reason, was rejected.
And they have the same models that tell them the same things. So that's why it leads me to think that your theory is
freaked out.
They freaked out and had to do something.
Yep.
Even if it was their computer said they weren't getting the best value out of the deal. They had to do something.
Yeah, that's scary. The guy who listens to the models had to stop listening to the models because he had to just scramble.
I don't like you're telling me, no, I got to do something to get people off my back.
And then finally, we've been talking a lot of baseball, but a little football crept in because all of a sudden, two elite guys who are looking for new contracts are available, supposedly, have asked for trades. Terry McLaurin, wide receiver, Washington Commanders. Patriots could use a number one wide receiver and have $60 million in cap space. That one's interesting. Oh, Micah Parsons, negotiating with the Dallas Cowboys. Things are getting weird off the rails down there. They're trying to negotiate with him, not his agent. He wants out, hasn't been paid. The Cowboys do tend to pay in the end, but if I gave you an either or right now, Ted Johnson, either or, you could have either of those players, and let's just pretend the money and the trades are basically similar. Who would you select?
Give me Micah Parsons. I'm more of a Micah Parsons guy. He's 24 years old, as opposed to Terry McLaurin, who's age 30. I just think a pass rusher, all you say is, hey, all you got to do is beat the guy in front of you.
Yeah.
Or a wide receiver, it's like you need the offensive line to block. You need the quarterback to make the right reads. Things got to happen for them to be impactful with Josh McDaniels. I just don't think Terry McLaurin will be highlighted like he is down there in Washington. So to me, it's Micah Parsons. And I'm looking for this. I got crazy numbers. The Dallas Cowboys are one of the best defenses in the NFL when Micah Parsons is on the field.
Yeah.
When he's not, they are literally one of the worst defenses in the NFL.
It's like the old Colts, Bob Sanders, when he was like the most important player in the world. I just had an image in my head. Imagine how bad I would think the Patriots' offensive line was if Micah Parsons was on the other side of the ball and rushing past Will Campbell and Morgan Moses and DeMontre Jacobs and these guys on a regular basis.
That defense would be if you just can run Harold Landry, Keon White, anyone else, and just set Micah Parsons free next to Robert Spillane. Ted, how do you think they would deploy him?
Micah Parsons?
Yes.
They put him on the open side, so away from the tight end, away from the run strength, and just he would never drop in pass coverage. I mean, every now and then just to keep him off balance, but pin your ears down and go, and then obviously highlight him in third down situations.
Fitzy, either or. If you could only have one and it all kind of works out in the wash, dream scenario, who'd you get?
Terry McLaurin, because I believe the offense still to this point needs more work than the defensive side of the ball. Yes, of course, Micah Parsons makes the Patriots a top five defense immediately. But Terry McLaurin brings your offense up past serviceable, maybe even beyond respectable, to potentially dangerous, because you'd have Steph Diggs and you'd have Hunter Henry and you'd have running back of choice. And then you'd have Terry McLaurin with Drake May and Josh McDaniels calling plays. That's a legitimate offense. We haven't had an offense like that since prime Edelman and Gronk, where you'd have two plus wide receivers or targets that would be dangerous. And yes, I know Josh McDaniels loves the backs, loves the smaller wide receivers. That would be dynamite. And I think, I hate to speak craft on this one, he wouldn't cost as much, Ted.
I just want to make this last point about Micah Parsons. And I got this from Bill Barnwell on Twitter. He said, over the last 4 years, the Cowboys are the league's best defense with Micah Parsons on the field by EPA per play. across a little over 1,000 play sample. They're the league's second worst defense over that same stretch by EPA per play when Parsons isn't on the field. That's insane.
That is
one person.
He's very good.
On a unit that has 11 guys.
But I also need to tell you, you're both wrong. They have $60 million. They have plenty of draft picks. The correct answer is?
Both.
Both players. And then you're talking, Fitzy, not about making the playoffs, not about me. You're talking Super Bowl, baby. Drake May, year two Super Bowl. Why can't we dream? If we're going to talk about it on the radio, we might as well dream big here on WCIF.
Oh, he's such a homer. Such a homer.
I just dream big. You know, if the Red Sox aren't going to fulfill my dreams, maybe the Patriots will. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls. We're still hoping to talk to our guy Will Fleming up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, one last time. Give me what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.